Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Permian leads U.S. rig count higher for week. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Drilling activity perked up slightly as the first month of 2024 comes to a close. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count it has been issuing weekly since 1944 rose for a second consecutive week, adding one rig for 621 rigs at work nationwide. Still, that's 150 rigs, or 19% below the 771 rigs the company reported last January. Reuters reported the Baker Hughes rig count fell about 20% last year after 33% in 2022 and 67% in 2021. The number of rigs seeking crude oil rose two to 499 rigs, 110 below the 609 rigs seen last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dropped one rig to 119, 41 less than the 160 rigs drilling for natural gas a year earlier. Texas dropped one rig for 304 rigs active statewide, 76 fewer than the 380 seen last year. New Mexico added one rig for 99 rigs. Louisiana, one, and North Dakota, one, joined Texas as producing states to see declines. Utah, one, and Wyoming, one, joined New Mexico as producing states seeing increases. The Permian Basin bucked the nationwide and statewide trend, adding three rigs, the most among the major producing basins, for 310 rigs at work throughout the region. That's 47 fewer rigs than the 357 seen last year. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian Basin, with 53 rigs, up two for the week. Lee County, New Mexico, remains in second place, with 43 rigs, down one. Martin County reported 35 rigs for a third consecutive week, while Reeves County added one rig for 29. Midland County had 23 rigs at work within county lines for a second week. Loving County held at 22 rigs a second week. Upton County had 15 rigs, up one. Boyd County also added a rig for 14 rigs. Reagan County had 12 rigs for a third consecutive week, followed by Howard County with 11 rigs, up one for the week. Crude soars 6.2% for week. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Crude prices appear to be entering Goldilocks territory, high enough for producers, yet low enough to not cause pain for consumers. Fueled by positive economic news from both the U.S. and China, West Texas Intermediate posted its best week since September, soaring 6.27% for the week. WTI rose four of five trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening the trading week with a $1.78 gain. The only decline was 39 cents as the near-month contract switched from February to March on Tuesday. WTI leaped $2.27 Thursday and added 65 cents Friday to end the week above $78 per barrel, $78.01 to be exact. The posted price closed at $74.49, according to Plains All-American. The deep freeze that gripped much of the nation in mid-January resulted in a near-record withdrawal from natural gas storage. The Energy Information Administration said 326 billion cubic feet of natural gas was withdrawn from storage the week of January 15th, the third most on record. The draw also wiped out almost all of the 350 BCF overhang in year-over-year gas in storage. That put working gas at 2,856 BCF, 4% more than the 2,746 BCF in storage a year ago, according to the EIA. Natural gas futures on the NYMEX rose 3 of 5 trading days, starting the week off with a 10-cent drop. Reports of the near-record draws sent futures climbing 19 cents Wednesday, and prices closed the week with a 14-cent gain to end at $2.71 per MCF. Craig Earlham, senior market analyst with Oanda, said in his daily newsletter that Brent, the global benchmark, rising above $80, could be viewed as a big psychological move, particularly amid the risks in the Middle East and better economic figures from the U.S. Quote, that said, prices are still not high and certainly not high enough to stoke inflationary concerns at this stage, he wrote. Neighbors and SLB form collaboration. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. The drilling automation revolution continues to gather momentum. Neighbors Industries has announced a collaboration with SLB to integrate their drilling automation applications and rig operating systems. It is the fourth collaboration Neighbors has announced in the last 9 months. The Neighbors SLB integration will allow customers to integrate their systems to improve well construction performance and efficiency. The new integration provides access to a broader suite of drilling automation technologies and greater flexibility to utilize their existing rig control systems and equipment on either SLB's Precise or Neighbors Smart ROS rig operating system. Neighbors' previous collaborations have yielded promising results. Its Corva collaboration, announced in April 2023, has yielded 36% improvement in ROP, rate of penetration, a measure of drilling speeds on initial deployment. The technology has been scaled to several U.S. basins. A collaboration with Halliburton, announced in June 2023, has yielded 40% in ROP in initial deployments in the Middle East. And a collaboration with ROG2, announced in April 2023, has continued to streamline directional drilling and geosteering. Quote, system integration bottlenecks are one of the main roadblocks to global adoption of drilling automation, said Jesus Lamas, President, Well Construction, SLB, in announcing the collaboration. Quote, our collaboration with Neighbors will provide E&P customers and drilling contractors across the globe with greater access to high-performance drilling capabilities, including neuro-autonomous directional drilling. End quote. Quote, this is a great example of how industry collaboration can break down barriers to scale adoption of automated drilling solutions industry-wide, said Subodh Saxena, Senior Vice President, Technology and Service at Neighbors, in the same announcement. Quote, we are excited to team up with SLB to make certain solutions available to each other and to continue expanding the installed base of Neighbors digital solutions beyond Neighbors rigs, end quote.
Hi, my name is Hannah. I'll be reading Permian Proud on February 1st. This article is called Permian Basin Comic-Con X, Returning for Ninth Year in March. And it was published today on February 1st, 2024. And it is by Staff Report. Permian Basin Comic-Con X, the largest Comic-Con convention in West Texas, is returning for its ninth year from March 15th to 17th. Just as always, we bring the biggest in anime, gaming, TV, movies, and more, organizers state on Facebook. Join over 200 vendors and get those hard-to-find collectibles. The event features a bevy of high-profile voice actors from popular animated productions. This year, WWE Hall of Famer Kevin Nash is scheduled to join the event, along with Taryn Manning, star of Orange is the New Black. She will sign autographs and do photo ops, organizers said. To purchase tickets or for more information, visit the Permian Basic Comic-Con website. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, livestream. Hi, my name is Hannah, and I'll be reading Permian Proud on February 1st, 2024. The title of this article is Rambo Spoiled, Putting on Weight, and Well-Deserved Retirement. And it was published on January 30th, 2024, and it is a staff report. I didn't come to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from Rambo. That line from Rambo, the popular action thriller movie series, does well to describe the career of an Odessa police dog who shares the name. After 7 years with OPD, Rambo, the highly effective police canine, recently retired at the old age of 11, according to the city. His handler, 19-year-old OPD veteran Gabby Aguayo, described Rambo as an incredible tracker and one of the best narcotics dogs who assisted on numerous drug busts. She recalled intense moments on assignments with him. She remembers an incident where a vehicle hit a barbed wire fence west of I-20, the city states. Rambo was able to chase down two of the criminals. Aguayo said the criminals saw Rambo and just gave up. The good news is Aguayo is prepped for a wonderful retirement. Typically, the handler buys the dog for $1. The purchase is made in order to take the liability off of the city. So far, Rambo is enjoying his retirement. He's spoiled and has put on some weight, Aguayo said. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, livestream. Hi, my name is Hannah. I'll be reading Permian Proud on February 1st, 2024. I'll be reading Legacy High Mariachi Band Earns Perfect Score in Its First Year. This was published January 30th of 2024, and it is a staff report. In just its first year, the Legacy High School Mariachi Band earned a perfect score at the UIL Mariachi Festival in El Paso last weekend. Dubbed Mariachi Revolution, the group earned the best possible score of a 1 from every judge during the performance Saturday, according to Midland ISD. The mariachi program launched in 2021, and new director Zach Machuca started the varsity program at LHS just last fall. Since then, the program grew from only 6 students enrolled to 19 musicians participating in the winning performance. "I am immensely proud of the dedication and talent displayed by our students," said Machuca. "Achieving a perfect score in our first year of competition is a testament to their commitment and enthusiasm." The regional mariachi competition featured musical ensembles from 27 schools around West Texas. The LHS Mariachi Revolution will now advance to the state festival in Seguin, Texas, scheduled for February 23rd through 25th. There, the group will compete against the best high school mariachi bands from across the state. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, livestream. Hi, my name is Hannah. I'll be reading Permian Proud on February 1st, 2024. The title of this article is Sports Legends to Speak at Rockhounds Banquet Fundraiser, and it was published on January 29th, 2024, and it is a staff report. The Midland Rockhounds are inviting the community to hear from superstar keynote speakers at its annual sports banquet on Wednesday, February 7th. Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl champion Billy Joe Dupree and Oakland A's World Series MVP Dave Stewart are scheduled to speak at the West Texas Sports Banquet and Memorabilia Auction. Dupree appeared in 3 Super Bowls with Dallas and was the leading receiver in the Cowboys' 27-10 win over the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl XII. Stewart is a 3-time World Series champion and the MVP of the 1989 Fall Classic with Oakland. The banquet will take place at Midland Country Club with the silent auction beginning at 5:30 p.m., dinner at 6 p.m., and the program at 7 p.m. Sponsorships and tickets are still available for the annual event, which will this year benefit Holy Cross High School, Casa de Amigos, and Rockhounds Scholarship Fund. The banquet started in 1991 as a way the franchise could give back to the community through a celebration of sports, according to the Rockhounds. For more information, call the Rockhounds office at 432-520-2255. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults 2 p.m. daily on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station. www.recordinglibrary.org livestream.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, January 27th, 2024. Religion. Ghosts aren't real, but demons are. Ministers say humanity plagued by Satan's angels. By Bob Campbell. There are two pointed references to ghosts in the New Testament, and the question arises if there are such things. The first reference is Matthew 14:26, where Jesus' disciples saw him walking on the Sea of Galilee and were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. The other is Luke 24:39, where Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection and said, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Neither the Reverend Mario Martinez nor the Reverend Tim O'Neill believes in ghosts. But they do say humanity is plagued by demons. We cannot deny that Jesus and the disciples used the word ghost, but that doesn't mean the Bible supports the idea, said the Reverend Martinez, pastor of Genesis Christian Church. Jesus meant that he was not just a spiritual vision, he was a fleshly body. Some people think they see dead loved ones and call them ghosts, but I don't believe in that. I always tell them that Satan has angels called demons, and demons can appear to people to confuse their minds. So they need to be very aware of that and be focused on God. The Reverend O'Neill, pastor of Refuge Ministries, said the scriptural references are to point out the difference between reality and superstition. "I do think demons are out there," O'Neill said. "I don't know if they can appear, but I believe they can torment people with stress, fear, and worry, and try to coerce them into things they shouldn't be doing." Citing Revelation 12:11, he said, "Christians are the enemies of the devil and are therefore under attack, so we have to go to God in prayer and his word." The way to defeat Satan is by the power of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and the praise and testimony of the believers. O'Neill said demons are the fallen angels who were cast out of heaven with the devil when the archangel Michael defeated them. Revelation 12:7-9 says, "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." The sole purpose of the demons of Satan is to separate us from God, and they continue to prey upon the lost in order to maintain control over them, O'Neill said. "When we give our lives to Jesus, he frees us from being slaves to the devil." Six Things Every Christian Needs by Reverend Landon Coleman, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. I've been blessed to serve as the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church for the last 10 years, 9 years and 9 months to be exact. Over the course of the last decade, we've seen God do some amazing things in the life of our church and in the lives of individuals who are part of our church. In particular, we've seen many come to faith in Jesus for the first time. Some of these new believers have attended church for years, and only recently did they come to a biblical understanding of the gospel. Others are brand new to the church life, and it was only recently that they actually heard the gospel. Admittedly, 10 years is a drop in the bucket compared to men like Clydell Chapman and Byron McWilliams, pastors of Northside Baptist and First Baptist, respectively. Still, 10 years is 10 years. When it comes to new believers, 10 years is long enough to see some stick with their faith and experience remarkable growth. And sadly, 10 years is also long enough to see some drift away and experience spiritual collapse. As I look back over the last 10 years and think about why some endured and others drifted away, why some grew and others remained stagnant, a discernible pattern emerges. That pattern suggests that every new Christian needs at least six things in their life. First, every Christian needs a place to belong. By place, I mean church. Every Christian needs a church family. Period. End of story. There simply is no New Testament category of the Lone Ranger Christian. You need older and younger, richer and poorer, all together in Christ. Second, every Christian needs a group to join. Group here refers to a subgroup of the church. Maybe it's a men's group, a Sunday school class, or a life group. But every Christian needs to be part of a group. This is the place genuine relationships are formed with others. Third, every Christian needs a teacher to learn from. This teacher can be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, but ideally this teacher is more like a mentor. Every Christian needs someone who will take the time to personally invest in their life. We all need this kind of teacher. Fourth, every Christian needs a friend to give encouragement. Following Jesus is not easy. There are trials, temptations, and suffering for anyone who claims the name of Christ. For that reason, every Christian needs a friend who can listen and give encouragement. Fifth, every Christian needs an example to follow. What does it mean to follow Jesus? The Apostle Paul knew that was an abstract concept. That's why he told the Corinthian Christians to follow his example, as he followed the example of Christ. We all need examples to follow. Sixth, every Christian needs a student to invest in. Just like there is no New Testament category of Lone Ranger Christian, there is no category of a Christian who does not invest in the next generation. It doesn't matter who you invest in, but you must invest in someone.
Dear Abby, at 17 years of marriage, I learned, to my dismay, that when he was 22, my husband had a long-term relationship with a 16-year-old. He insisted that she had lied about her age and told him she was 20. But even after finding out her true age, he went back to her. Her mother was okay with it, as well as other family members who all knew she was underage. It makes me sick to my stomach. They engaged in sexual activity when she was underage. They were even engaged until she allegedly cheated. I'm livid because he tried to say he told me she was underage, but he never did. I would never have dated or married someone who knowingly had sex with an underage individual. I've been questioning a lot about this marriage, but this sent me over the top. Am I overreacting because he was young and dumb and did something stupid and never did it again, as he puts it? Signed, can't get over it. Dear Abby responds, dear can't. The most important line in your letter, as far as I am concerned, is this one. I've been questioning a lot about this marriage. The first item on your agenda should be to make an appointment with a licensed marriage and family therapist so you and your husband can start working on what's wrong with your relationship. His feelings for that girl were sincere. He would have married her had she not cheated on him. If he has been a faithful and caring husband since your marriage, it's time to forgive him for his youthful indiscretion, which was encouraged by the girl's family. And another, dear Abby, my son and daughter-in-law are in their early 30s. They have a 5-year-old child who hasn't seen a doctor since infancy. They opted not to vaccinate. Although my husband and I do not agree with it, we keep our mouths shut. Our precious granddaughter has been sick with a severe cough and fever on and off for close to 2 months. Although they have health insurance, they refuse to take her to a doctor. They treat her with over-the-counter meds and holistic remedies. I finally told my daughter-in-law I felt it was negligence not to take the child to a pediatrician. The other grandmother feels the same way I do. Now I'm being canceled for finally expressing how I feel. I am disconsolate with the thought that they would actually do that to me. I did apologize for my choice of words and the way I said them. What else can I do to make things right again? My son is no help. He doesn't go against his wife for any reason. Signed, heartbroken Nana in Florida. Dear Nana, if I read your letter correctly, you stated that your grandchild has had no vaccinations, nothing to prevent whooping cough, diphtheria, measles, chicken pox, or polio. To me, that describes gross negligence. Because your hen-pecked son refuses to step in, you may have to accept there is nothing you or the other grandmother can do to make things right again. But the two of you could contact Child Protective Services and ask if they agree that what's happening is negligence.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.